Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come."
Well, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to God's Word, turn to Luke chapter 14, and our text is taken from verses 12 to verses 14. We come around the table, and we would like just to consider this day a few words that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he came around a dinner table when he was here on earth. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was good at social gatherings, being perfect man, being perfect in all his ways. He was often found socially mixing in various places, so much so that they had a name for him. And they said he was a drunkard, a wine bibbler. They had pointing the finger that he was one who would eat and he would drink with sinners. But when you read the actual account, what you find is this, is that the Lord Jesus, he come and ate and drunk with all kinds of people. He ate with sinners and he came and he ate with saints. He was one who would go to the house of Martha and Mary, to his friends, and he will also go to the house of his enemies. When you read the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, he never turned down one dinner invitation. Although when you read this account in Luke chapter 14, which has been our study for a number of weeks in the Bible study, what you find is this. If there was an occasion where he would have turned down an invitation, it would surely have been this. Every time he went into one of these homes of the Pharisees and of the leaders, there was always sparks which flew immediately. And this was to be no different. When the Lord Jesus came into this earth, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came in, to this earth. Remember this, he was always playing away. He was always on away turf. And when he entered into these homes, he was always then in a place where people were against him and watching him. And that's what you have in this account in Luke chapter 14. It's quite incredible, really. You find it in verse 1. Now it happened, he went into the house of the rulers. And when you find this account, it seems to be that it was staged. It was set up because there was the man who had dropsy within the house. And of course, they were watching, it says. We read the account, they were watching what he would do. And the Lord Jesus Christ picked up that gauntlet which was thrown to him. And then he comes and he questions them. Is it not right to heal on the Sabbath? And what happens is that they are silent in the house. And with that, you can cut the atmosphere with a knife. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 7, it's not going to be a friendly kind of dinner party, because now in verse 7, he looks at those now who are seated in certain places. And in verse 7, he saw those who were seated and how they were invited, and he noted that they took the best places. And the Lord Jesus had something to say to them. So you can imagine it. There's been a stir already. He's in the home. He's in the house. He sees how the seating arrangement is going, and he has something to say to those who have taken the best seats. And then now in our text this morning, in verse 12, if you think that's not enough fireworks, then he said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends or brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." And thirdly then, in this dinner party, and please understand this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not concerned really about dinner etiquette of where people sit. The Lord Jesus Christ is not really concerned and telling advice to this man on how to run a dinner party. When the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, he comes into this home, there's a reason why he came into it, even though they were against him. It's because these people were more lost than those out on the street. And when he saw what was taking place and the way that they were sitting, he knew that this was against what the gospel was all about. That wanting to be in the best place, wanting to be thought of in a great way. The gospel is this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he has something to say to them. And when the Lord Jesus Christ now speaks to the man who has invited all his friends, there are eternal issues which Jesus is meeting. There are eternal things he has to say. And you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And it's a massive theme. When you actually read this 14th account in chapter 14, do you know, you notice here in verse 12, when he says to the man who's invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper," notice in verse 8, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast," notice now in verse 15, "And when those who sat at the table," he says, "of this great feast," in verse 16, because you see, this gospel is telling us something about this great fellowship. One of the great revelations we have in the Old Testament is that when Moses went up to that mountain to receive those Ten Commandments and God spoke with him, it says then that with the elders, that when they saw God, they ate and drank. And when you think of where this is going in the end, the wonderful picture is this, that there's going to be that great marriage feast of the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is great at social gatherings. He's wonderful around a table. This is his table. He's the one who's told us that when we come together and eat together, that we would do it in remembrance of him. And the people who come to the place of the church, you read it in Romans chapter 12, that you should be given to hospitality. And do you not know that there are those who have entertained strangers, that they have entertained angels unaware? And so it is that the Lord has a lot to say when it comes to be gathered around the table. And this is what he's got to say. There's an issue. And the issue is this in verse 12. And remember, he's not concerned really about dinner parties as such, but he's attending and concerned about eternal things. And it's not the issue about being sociable. The Lord is very sociable. He's not against people being sociable. He is for that. It's something good, it's something right. It's something which our Lord has shown us. And so often we're not, because we're not like him. We're not perfect. But what he does have, and don't think for a moment that he is not willing for you to invite your friends and your neighbour and your family. You need to do more of that. You need to start there at least before you ever entertain someone you don't know or a stranger. The Christian door is to be opened. He says there in verse 12, and then he said to him, who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper. That wasn't the issue. He expected it. It was part of the norm in culture in those days. We've lost something of that. We have indeed. That's why it's important when we come today around the table, when we come together tonight around the fellowship supper. These things are in the heart and the mind of our Lord and of our Saviour. And he has something to say. But when you do, just remember this. You remember those which are poor. And when you invite someone, you invite someone who cannot repay you, because there is something. Let me show you here. There is a sin which is in this man, which is as great and as deep and as serious as any within Scripture, because that tells us something of the orientation in the heart and the mind of this man, the thinking of this man. I know perhaps we may not do these things, but when you think about it, when you invite someone for a coffee, he's saying, well, can't you think of someone perhaps who's not your friend, who can't pay you back? I'll give you an example. It was a number of weeks ago, someone phoned me and said, oh, we had so-and-so in the church tonight, and you won't believe it, but they stayed behind having tea and coffee. I said, I can believe it, because I know who was speaking, and perhaps they wanted to make a show and a presence. I know perhaps they may not think so much of us here in Bethesda, but it speaks greatly. Let me tell you how it speaks. Such a serious sin. There are sins that we do in our lives which you may call the whoppers, the big sins, where Christians can slip and people can fall. But when I deal with people, that's not really, I know they're serious, but I tell you what's more serious is when you see something of this attitude, this which now is in the heart of this man, where there he will not mix and speak and interact because there are others, they're not good enough, not spiritual enough, not wise enough, not rich enough, not educated enough. And it tells us something about the whole heart of this man. And that is worse than any slip. Because I'll tell you what it says. It tells us that he has no understanding of the gospel. Let me give you this verse, for example. Give you two verses to explain it. You may say you have faith, but faith that works is dead. And James tells us that. And James had an issue in the church. And the issue in the church was this, in James chapter 2 and verse 1, and it tells of whether you know or whether you understand or you receive the gospel. In verse 2, verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brethren, God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised. Now it tells us, you have not even grasped it, have you, of the way that the gospel works and the way that the Lord Jesus Christ works. He works, you see, where he shows no partiality. And when it comes to him, has he not chosen such people? Now, that was the problem when we had that reading, which was taking place this day in the very place of Corinth. Corinth was a very prosperous city, a very educated city. And in that city, there were very educated and powerful people. And now what happens is the Apostle Paul would preach there and people were converted. He has to tell them here in that first chapter. It's an important chapter. And he tells them these words. Now you see your calling, brethren. Now remember that. You see your calling, brethren. Do you see that? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know that yourself. That when God called each and every one of us, we were lost, we were foolish. But look what happens in this fellowship. That's why he says there in verse then 22 of that chapter which was read to us, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing, who have nothing? And they're coming around the table, and when they're doing it, they're going before those who are poor and those who have nothing. And there's a problem. And if you want to know about the problem when we come to this table, you can find it there, can you not? When he speaks about let him examine himself and be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What's he speaking of? Well, you find it here, don't you? In chapter 10 and verse 17. For we, though are many, are one bread and one body. And we all partake of the one bread. And he says, that's the problem. The reason that people were falling asleep and ill and sick among you is because when you come and you discern, now it can happen. Look, standing in this place isn't a happy place sometimes. To see the way that people don't interact, perhaps who've never spoken to others of other people. And you think, what's all that about? I tell you what it's about. It's in this whole orientation, which is in one's mind. You have a fiction of your salvation in your head. You say, because it's not worked out in the deepest parts of your being. And it's here in this dinner party. And he says, you be very careful, because you're not holding this faith of our Lord, which you've come to know, the Lord of glory, the Lord of glory, and you're not holding it. And you realize that there's that fellowship and there's that communion, and it's to with those which are with people perhaps you wouldn't normally deal with, and perhaps it won't be good for you, but you show something of the gospel. If there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus Christ, I can say to you from these very verses in Luke chapter 24, when he comes and he reprimands this man who invited only his friends, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just invite friends. He's invited enemies. He's invited those who came and killed him. He invites those who have nothing to do with him. And he says he invites the blind, and he invites the poor, and he invites the maimed, and he invites the broken, and he invites you. And I can say there's a table, whatever else people will say, hear the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one in which you can come to him. And he would say that, because that's what he says. That's his heart, that's his mind. And so it is that he invites, as he does, all to come. You must come to him, obviously, but that is his heart. And he dealt with people, and he did that. It's important, isn't it? He has something to teach us about the table. You watch who you invite. And then what you find here, in verse then 13, for example, he tells him what not to do, but then also he's telling him what to do. Now, please listen carefully of what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about within this text. He is speaking to this man, and you must read it carefully. Lest, verse 12, the end of it, they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And then you see in verse 14 that you will be blessed. Now the Lord is not taken up, first of all, with a social etiquette. And this is not a social gospel. This is a gospel of someone's soul. He's concerned for the man's soul. And when he enters into this house, that's what he's aiming for. The eternal redemption of this man. And although he may be going wrong in these very small things that you may think of, things you've never thought of, things you would overlook, yet at the end of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ knows that very orientation that he has. This is not just a slip. This is not just a fall. This is the direction this man's going. And he wants him to be blessed. And he wants you to be blessed. And he wants you to come to know in your life what it is that what you do in this life has consequences for eternity. And he tells him here, you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now, I want to perhaps just be practical for a moment. I want you to think upon this. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we come round this table, as we come together perhaps tonight, as we live our lives, there's something that he calls us to do and not to do. It's not to invite. You invite your friends and you invite your relatives. Start there. But when you do, don't forget those which cannot repay you. Now, let me just say that this needs to be put into practice. One of the blessings of the New Testament church was the hospitality which was evident and which was shown to one another, where they opened their homes and they were able to meet. And also then, they were also able to have the gospel to go forth. And in one's life, I know you may be thinking, well, it's been a long time since I've had someone around and I don't know who to have. Well, anyone will do. But all I'm going to say to you, perhaps, it's not how perhaps we do it. But please think of this. What he is trying to teach is that you will show a kindness to people. There will be those things that you will bring to others which they cannot pay you back. And even if it is that you cannot do the lavish supper. You know how many times you may go for coffee and you go out and you entertain in those small little gestures. Now it tells a huge thing that you could do that with certain people, but you can't do it with other people. You've got to watch it, because there's something here that is to be practiced in our lives. That if you have faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would know what it is that he's given to you freely in your life, and you'll be able to share with others. Look, there will be those you say, well, look, I don't know. Where would I begin? Where would you begin? Well, here's a place to begin. You can begin in the church. There'll be plenty of people that you would not normally meet and be together and sit with one another. It's not a bad place to meet. And even if you couldn't do it in your home, you could do something. And we do it, thankfully, in this church, week after week. There are those which are entertained and those which are given to, and those which we would do that, expecting nothing in return. I remember going to two places. I'll give you a little example. And I remember being in a church in a city in this land, in England, and they had a practice. I think it must have been once a month, where they had a church dinner after the morning service. And it actually, they had such a big place. It was a hot dinner. It was like a turkey dinner or a chicken dinner. It was all cooked. And I remember the man who was in charge of it, and he had his apron on, and that was his task. And I tell you why I remember him. Because I knew that this man, he was a businessman. He was a top man in one sense, in what he had done in his life. But obviously, because of, you know, the people he deals with, those that he mixes with, I mean, he's not even touching perhaps certain sections of society. But for this Sunday, every month, he would be there cooking the food, most probably even providing, and it was for then everyone. And with that, you know, here's someone who knew what it was to fulfill something of that ministry. I'll give you another one. I remember being in a church in America before I came here, and I had 3 days within this church. It was in a very posh suburb of Chicago. And in this church, they had worked out, they were very posh, and they were all high performers. It was filled with doctors, professors, lawyers, all the rest. No wonder I didn't get the job. But what happened was this. I was impressed with them, because what they did, they took seriously. And it wasn't that they just were giving money to the poor. But there would be a team of them which would go in to the inner city with the food that they had prepared themselves and the baskets to give and to minister to those, obviously, that they would never meet and never reach. I'm saying here today is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has something to say. And in your life, there is that which is to be done to those who cannot pay you back. And there's reasons for it. Why the Lord Jesus wants this man to do it? Because he tells him in verse 14, "And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." The Lord is not concerned of dinner parties. He's not concerned, I can assure you even this, of social work. He's concerned of people's spiritual condition. And the Bible does tell us that anyone who pities the poor does lend to the Lord. And if you were to lend to the Lord, he is a great repayer. And he does repay. He knows every cup of tea, every cup of coffee, every biscuit, every sweet, every meal, every token of gesture that you have given to those who cannot repay. And it is important. You must understand what he's saying. Now, you can give to the poor and be lost. Paul tells us that. Even if I give to the poor and have not love, I am nothing. But in this outworking that you need to come to know is that he's dealing with him and talking to him. You know how a person becomes a Christian, don't you? Oh, yes. A person becomes a Christian by faith alone. But faith is never alone. And when he says, you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just, of the righteous, of those who have known what it is to be righteous. And what you need to know as the Lord Jesus Christ comes to reveal, that after this world, there is a judgment which is coming. It's for the unrighteous and for the righteous. It's for the just and the unjust. And Jesus wants this man to be part of the just. And so it is that you need to know that there is that day. Look, in Matthew chapter 25, you've got that. And it's interesting. Interesting because the Lord Jesus Christ knows of the resurrection. He's the one who came into this world, who died on that cross. He's the one who told his disciples, I will rise again on the third day. The Lord Jesus Christ has showed us his life after this world. And this is what he tells them. There is coming a day where he's going to come and return. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, with his holy angels, he will divide the sheep and the goats. Now notice what he is saying. Imagine this. Of all the sins that you've committed, of all the things that you've done and are ashamed of all the things that you hope that no one will ever find out, that's not even going to be mentioned, he says here, on the judgment. He tells them, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to say to those, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came. And they say, when did we do that, Lord? When you did it to the least of my brethren. Those which in that church of Corinth, the least were forsaken, despising the body of Christ. Those which came in and which were not recognized, and they had no understanding. But notice how the judgment goes. And he'll say to those on the left, not what they did, but what they did not do. They did not give to the one who was hungry. They did not invite the stranger. They did not do. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. You say, what's all that about? I tell you what it's about. It's about the life which we live. Life is serious. And what Jesus does is what every minister should do, is try to make people to realize the spiritual. In so many times, the natural, trying to get people to consider the thought of God, to help them to realize there's a life which is to come after this world, and what you do in life is serious, and you need to recognize it. Who you have in the house and who you don't. Who you speak to and who you don't. All these things have eternal significance. And Jesus points on that with this man. Now, I want to tell you, and here's the wonderful news, and it is this. Jesus says, do that to those who cannot repay you. This is not a gospel of works, because I can assure you, anyone who comes to Jesus Christ today, Jesus came into this world and he gave his own body as food for our soul. Jesus Christ gave his own blood that we should drink. Jesus Christ prepared this table that we may eat and feed on him. Jesus Christ came and spread all of his glory, all of his love, all of his purity. He spread it out on that cross of Calvary for a people who could never repay. You know that. That we could never repay. He knew that. We could never make it ourselves. We could never pay back the deed which he's done. We could never come and love him as he's loved us. But he did it. But he did it. And you know, this morning, I would say to you, look, you come to him, don't you? By faith. And you say, it's nothing I can do. But I do come to you believing that you will receive me. And there's a place in this table, there's a picture of the table which is in heaven. And for those of you who are Christians, do you know what it is to be a Christian? It's to be a follower of Jesus, and it's to be that doer of God's word. And you listen to his word and you say, oh, that's an interesting word. Just around a table. And that my heart and my mind is for such people, just like ourselves. For you know how you were called, and they weren't many mighty or noble.